Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Thank you very much indeed for that. Now, it's been an extremely sad week on Irish roads, with the number of people sadly losing their lives in road accidents, as we've discussed in this programme during the week. The total number of deaths in road accidents so far this year stands at 97, which is 12 more than in the same period last year. The Taoiseach Simon Harris described road safety as a priority issue when he assumed office earlier this year, but opposition politicians and road safety advocates have called for more immediate action as a concerning trend in fatalities continues. Well, joining me now in the studio is Director of Partnerships and External Affairs of the Road Safety Authority, Sarah O'Connor. Sarah, you're very welcome indeed to the programme after what has been an extremely difficult week on Irish roads. And I might first get your reaction to the unspeakable tragedy visited again upon families and communities.
Well, I want to say thank you for having us here to talk about road safety, which is so important. But I suppose that we were wishing it isn't a topic we'd have to be discussing this week. And it's very sad. And I think it's on the minds of all of us that there are families having their darkest day and their darkest hour this week. It's quite difficult to absorb the impact, I think, of road safety, and it's very real, the real outcomes and its impact on people, on individuals, on communities. And we're probably all, I think, as a country, reeling a little bit this week
thinking about that. When we see the photos of the people who are lost and the pain and the loss and the grief visited on families and communities, it's just painful to view from afar. Even the total number of deaths on Irish roads, as I say, is 97, which is 12 more than the same period last year. I mean, what can be done?
I think our road safety strategy and, you know, international best practice says there's no one fix, there's no one thing that can be done. And even when, I suppose, when you look at the first 6 months of the year, which is what we are talking to you about today, it doesn't point in any one direction. There's no one piece that can be achieved to do it all. And so it's about thinking about a number of different things that any of us as individuals can do that can make a big difference. I suppose when you think about what goes wrong on our roads, the dangerous behaviours play a huge role. And what we've seen in the last 2 or 3 years is that those dangerous behaviours all went the wrong direction during COVID and haven't gone back to where they were before. When people engage with us on that, they often think, well, for example, I think you and I have talked before about the idea that there's a 10% drop in the number of people who believe that drink driving is socially acceptable among their peers. If there's a drop in acceptability, more people will do it. There's similarly, our roadside observational studies show people driving faster on urban roads, people driving faster on rural roads. And I think we were talking to you about the drop in the number of people wearing seatbelts maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. So those are all things that we would perceive as dangerous behaviours. They feature very regularly when we look at what may have gone wrong on a given day in a given collision. And so when you look at those all put together, there's a big challenge. There is a big shift.
And we're speaking generally now, obviously.
But
what can we, how do you roll that back then? How do you stamp that out or curtail that, all those bad behaviours?
So you focus on the ones that you believe really count within collisions in Ireland. For us, for example, I know on Monday of this week, we launched 5 new radio ads about dangerous behaviours, 2 on speed, 2 on alcohol and 1 on seatbelts. They're actually all fairly hard hitting. They're not an easy listen, shall we say.
How effective are they at changing driver behaviour, though?
Well, we track that and we look not only, I suppose, at how many people have seen it, how many people have watched it. Obviously, if that's TV, if it's radio, you're talking about how many people have listened to it. And then we do ask people. So we do a survey after the piece has run to ask people, like, did you talk to family or friends about this? Did it make you slow down? What was the message you understood from the piece?
And does it make them slow down, for example?
They say that it does. They say that it does.
But how long does that last, I wonder?
Well, I suppose this is the piece about communications. It's short. So we have to be always on. We have to be very regular. We have to be in people's ears, and that's a big part of the work.
And it could be hit and miss as well, in terms of some people might see the ads, some mightn't.
Yeah.
Some might hear it.
Somebody might be ironing. They're not really listening. Yeah. Somebody else is talking.
But the fact of the matter is, it's a hit and miss educational or awareness campaign.
It's not a perfect kit, no.
And
it's not.
And also the time limit, there's a time limited effect as well. So is it better not to focus on enforcement, pure and simple, all
well,
the
internationally,
time?
It says that it's about the enforcement, education and engineering all working in conjunction. If you take out any one of the three of those legs on the three-legged stool, it doesn't function. Internationally,
how weak are we on enforcement, in your opinion?
Well, I wouldn't have comparators in terms of other countries. Certainly, I know that there's a huge amount of work has gone into it in the last number of weeks and a month. And I think we are seeing, both anecdotally and in some of the numbers, the impact of that additional 30 minutes per day of roads policing work.
You think that's working?
Oh, from what I have heard from people, absolutely. I mean, I think it'd be very interesting to see the hard and fast numbers from the guards. But anecdotally, absolutely, yes. Particularly in rural Ireland, we're getting people comment on that and see that very much. And it's about the visibility of it. I mean, a colleague of mine was talking about a car pulled in on the side of the road, and it's about the 20 other cars that see that happening as they drive past themselves. They see somebody getting penalty points or getting a ticket, and that can be very influential.
What about the other issues that are brought up here in terms of driver behaviour or flaws in the system, let's say, that could be stamped out pretty quickly? The problem of multiple learner permits. Sometimes people don't have to sit a test. They can just get another permit, a learner permit. Has that been stamped out? Is there any progress on that?
So in terms of multiple learner permits, there is a proposal with the Department of Transport at the moment that we have been working very closely with them on. And we are due to get approval to commence that work, which will be, I think, kicked off towards the end of the year.
And when will that be stamped out?
I mean, I think it'll be a phased approach in terms of that. I think the approach will be to look at the people who have had the most repeat permits, and to not only, I suppose, to encourage them, but to guide and support them and to ensure that they actually get a test.
Why not mandate that if you have a learner permit, you have to have a test? Do a test before you can get another.
That will be part of the solution. Absolutely.
It'll be mandated.
Yes.
So when will that happen?
So that's part of the proposal that's with the department at the moment. And the intention is to commence that work by year end. Obviously, as I said, focusing on the cohorts who maybe need the most help and support, and also may really need that test the most in terms of them really getting a clear sense of.
Do you know why it's taking so long?
Well, I think we've seen in the course of the last maybe 2-3 years since COVID that there has been a challenge in terms of driver testing, the speed with which we've been able to work through that backlog. And so that certainly plays a role in this. But we're now very far progressed in terms of improving the waiting times for driver testing. And so that's why we're in a position to rectify that.
So you reckon the COVID backlog is the reason why it's taking so long?
COVID backlog was one feature. More cars on the roads, net immigration, more young people applying for licences. In fact, the number of people applying for licences up in some cases the last year on year, 28%. So a really big, significant spike in the number of people wanting to learn how to drive in Ireland. Unforeseen, really, before COVID. Again, kind of big societal change in that space.
The resumption of collision data sharing.
Correct.
And there was an issue, wasn't there, in terms of people were saying you can't share that type of data with local authorities or engineers because there could be some GDPR or whatever issue, legal issue with it.
Correct.
So has that been resolved?
It has. So what has been resolved is, so there can be GDPR challenge in terms of whether somebody has the legal underpinning basis to share data, and then whether another organisation has the legal underpinning and basis to receive that data. And so the Minister signed into law what's called a statutory instrument in the course of the last 2 weeks, which allows the RSA to receive the data from the guards and to share it onwards. And there is legislation that will follow, which will allow the local authorities and other organisations to legally receive that. So that work is very substantially moved on over the course of the last number of weeks.
And what would be the practical import of that then?
So, I mean, while there was a challenge in that space, the data had been shared, or a certain limited amount of the data had been shared. But once this legislation follows, the full realm of the data that the local authorities would like to have alongside other organisations and that we believe will be instrumental to share will be forthcoming, and that'll be on an ongoing basis. There won't be issues in that space going forward.
The Road Safety Group, Park, they say they're disappointed with the Road Safety Authority and the pace of action. By you and by government. Is that fair? Do you share people's frustrations at all at the rate of progress?
Look, I think we're very, very close to people who've experienced family bereavement or injury as a result of road collisions. And so we're very, very hungry to do everything we can in this space. I think for us, it has been quite astonishing to see what has developed since COVID. And it is a matter of parcelling that off one thing after the next, trying to do the right things in the right order. Maybe we don't get those perfectly right every single day, and we probably can't get them done as quickly as we would like, which would be instant if we could fix any of those problems. I can understand when people are extremely close to an emotional situation. Of course, their response is do it all, do it now, do it perfectly. And, you know, no organisation can do all of that. But the RSA is also not the only sole authority in this space or in this organisation. Many people play a role, and many of us as individuals play a role. That's part of what road safety is about.
Some of what you're trying to deal with, the testing backlog, for example, and the procedural element of mandating a test before you can get another learner permit, that kind of stuff has been going on for months, if not years, has it not? I mean, surely it's not about doing it instantly. It's about doing it in a timely enough fashion.
It is, but I think the priority was to get people their test through as best possible. That had to be the priority for the last 2 or 3 years. It was really important. We had backlogs. People needed that for work, for life, for continuity and for road safety. That was really important.
A listener to 51551 says, I think we need far more focus on the aggression and tailgating, which is endemic on Irish roads. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, I think aggression is the far end of some of that behaviour that we're seeing. Some of it may be carelessness, some of it may be inattention, and in other ways it goes towards extreme rushingness, let's say, or aggression on our roads. I think anecdotally, we hear people talk about that as being very distinctly different now to what it was 5 years ago.
And
really? Certainly the
What's behaviors, caused that then?
I don't know if it's the return to normality post-COVID, people being in a big rush, the expectation maybe that people can be in two or three places at once. You know, that idea that people are travelling from one thing to the next and yet they're on a meeting for work and they're on a call.
You're saying that you can see a significant change in driver aggression between now and 5 years ago.
We don't measure driver aggression. That's not something that we can measure. That's not the kind of behaviour that you can objectively measure. But anecdotally, we are hearing people talk about that in a whole other way.
Okay. Well, one or two very brief ones that I can put to you. The texts that are coming in. I witnessed numerous drivers in Galway on their mobile phones after they finished work early yesterday afternoon. I wish I was a member of Angorda Síochánas, is that listener. And I'll give you one more before you comment on it. Mary, who says she's now home in Dublin, was in Donegal all last week, and I can't believe the speed of drivers there. Didn't see one Garda or speed van from Letterkenny to Dunfanaghy and beyond. All young men thinking they're in the rally. Very concerning. Please do something, RSA, says Mary.
Yeah, look, we're very concerned about rural speed. We are working on an ad campaign that will come out in November of this year, encouraging people to think and to be aware of the risks about rural speed. And actually, two of the radio ads that I mentioned this week have been very strongly influenced from the focus group that we did with young men. For example, where we heard a young man in the focus group say, look, I know these roads like the back of my hand. I know who's going to be coming down the road. I know exactly what's around the corner. And the radio ad makes it really clear. None of us know what's coming around the corner. So rural speed is absolutely key. And we are also exceptionally worried. We've done a very significant piece of structural research in terms of understanding the psychology about what's happening with mobile phones and its usage. We did a huge, significant investment in our mobile phone ad in January. Our annual conference in October will be all about mobile phone use, and our Driving for Work seminar again will be all about mobile phone use, because we are very worried in that space. Distracted driving is a big challenge.
Okay, Sarah O'Connor, Director of Partnerships and External Affairs with the Road Safety Authority. Thank you very much indeed for joining us.